Thank you very, very much. 42 years ago, my first assignment was to staff what we then called our West Planning Unit, consisting of people in Ottawa and Allegan County. Although I grew up in West Michigan, having been born in the Netherlands, this was nearly home. In fact, we almost bought, when I was a young child, a house facing on the park right over here downtown. You lost out to John Ball Park because my parents figured a zoo was a little nicer than just a fountain or two. But I grew up in this area, and when I came for my first meeting of the West Sub-Area Council, I figured I'd better do something different, so I came in speaking Dutch. I was the only one who could speak Dutch in the whole group. So since that time, I've learned not to. I was asked to talk a little bit about health care, and it's really hard to figure out where to start, what to say, or anything else. We all know health care is expensive. It's spotty. Some people get it, some people don't. Some are up on the latest of everything, and others kind of wonder what happened. There's all different levels of involvement, awareness, and so on. But I think we all understand we have some problems in healthcare. There is a problem of financial access. A lot of people who don't have money have not gotten into care, and that's what the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, or PPACA, or ACA, or Obamacare, call it whatever you want, they're all acceptable today. That's what that was intended to address, by forcing people to have insurance coverage. Why? Not because the insurance industry is so near and dear to our hearts, although we do love them. The idea is to allow people to have financial access to health care. We have problems of supply. There are many areas of our country where it's hard to get in to see a provider. We have shortages of physicians, shortages of nurses. In some areas, you have to travel very long distances to get into clinics, hospitals, or whatever. That would be physical access. So financial access is a problem for some. Physical access is a problem for others. Quality of care is a huge issue in healthcare. It's not something we like to talk about, but not all care is of high standard and high caliber. The most polite way to say what's happening, you can go to history. We have second surgical opinions. You know why? Because not all surgery was necessary. You don't like to say there are doctors doing things they didn't have to do and hospitals hosting them, but that was the case. Quality in healthcare across the country is such that there should be one statistic that should alarm you. A lot of health care is based on cookbook medicine. There are standards of care for just about anything you can name. If you're a diabetic, every time you see a doctor, seven things ought to be done. And the doctors know it. They boom, 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 seven things, you're done, we've done it. The standard of care across all diseases, all conditions in the United States is practiced 50% of the time. Huh? The most expensive health care system in the world, and our physicians are only up to half of the time practicing the standard, that you will not find in just about any other industrialized country. Okay, so quality can be an issue, and obviously cost is an issue in and of itself, whether you have coverage or not. I think most of you are aware that of the personal bankruptcies, over half of them are occurring to individuals over health care costs. 80% of those people have insurance. So insurance alone doesn't mean a heck of a lot. And in my mind, that's one of the biggest problems with the approach taken under Obamacare. They could have started with cost. They could have started with quality. They could have started with supply or physical access. They started with financial access. Well, telling people you have to have insurance when the costs of care are completely uncontrolled, you're telling people you've got to pay more and more and more for a system that's costing you more and more and more and doesn't put out the results your money ought to buy. I wouldn't have started there personally, but nobody asked. That's where we are, and now we have to take a look at it. You must realize before Obamacare took effect and up until this year, people were losing coverage left and right. At the time, most of the research indicated 18,000 people per day were losing coverage. That's a pretty big number. That's not just employees, that's employers who could not afford to carry insurance. And that's part of what this was all intended to take a look at. Unfortunately, now we're in a situation where the politics of destruction are such that you're not getting information. We had a flawed process to get to where we are politically, and correcting those flaws is going to take a lot more time, wisdom, and intelligence than I think we have collectively in Washington. We have one party that enacted the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act by itself. It had the majority. Remember, elections have consequences. We can do what we want. You had another party that said, well, if you're going to be that way, we're going to stand out in the hall and hold our breath till we turn blue, and you'll be sorry. And that's what happened. There was not constructive dialogue. Things in the act, even now, are just coming out. How many of you heard about the generational conflict? Young people are paying disproportionate amounts to subsidize care for older people. It's true. Now, interestingly, that's because of a lack of dialogue. The only party that got involved on the outside, not political party, when they talked about rate bans, that's the difference between the highest and lowest premium for coverage, the only group that was in there lobbying for its interest was ARP. Guess what? We have a very narrow band, so us old folk won. Nobody was there talking about what about the younger folk. If I were younger, I'd feel pretty cheated, either by my political parties or any lobby groups that might have been there on my behalf. But that's what we had, a flawed process. Not everybody there, not everybody talking, and now we have what we have. And we're not going back. This thing's been rolling out for several years, and you don't unroll it. Going back to the good old days isn't a possibility because the good old days weren't so good, and they weren't that old. And yet, we're so far into this, we're not going to be turning around. We may change things, but we're not going to get around. Now, there's a problem in that anything that the Democrats say is going to be to save their butts, right? Obamacare is good. We had over 7 million sign-ups. People are getting coverage, all that kind of stuff. You got the Republicans saying, yeah, but anything to do with Obama is bad, and you know we don't care what anyone says. They're liars. I was brought up here in West Michigan to not want to call anyone a liar. I was brought up to respect office, regardless if I didn't respect the office holder too much personally. Didn't speak about him. Well, now we do. We have a system with very high costs. You all are going to be making decisions about coverage, whether you own a business or an employee. How many of you know how much care costs when you go in to get something? An immunization. How about stopping into the ER to have a bruise, broken arm, whatever, taking a look at. How about a week in a nursing home? Anyone know what those costs are? Most of us don't. And yet that's what we're buying, and we have no idea what it costs. How about the notion that if you're in Florida, it's going to cost you 3 to 4 times more than you're from than if you're in Michigan? We don't know. We have a system that unfortunately also has the seeds of a lot of, we won't call it criminal activity, let's just say there is a potential for deception. If any of you read my blogs, you'll see that last month I wrote about a situation where a couple hospitals were billing Medicare for treating kwashiorkor. Anyone know what kwashiorkor is? Nobody? I'm a medical geographer by training, and that's one of the diseases we study, endemic in parts of Africa. It's a disease of extreme malnutrition, very closely related to another like marasmus. You don't hear those words here because those are not conditions in North America. But what do you do when Medicare is presented with several hundred claims for hospitals around the United States treating kwashiorkor? When they looked into it, the hospital said, oops, must be an IT error. So IT guys got to be taking the fall for that. Garbage, that's fraud. How about a doctor getting paid over $21 million in Miami for doing eye procedures? Ask any ophthalmologist here what their annual income is and see if, in fact, their money comes anywhere near $21 million for one procedure. Ain't no way. And yet that's a system we have. People don't know the cost. They don't know the sum. We have problems. Now, Jane wants me to talk about what's going on so you can make some decisions. Well, a lot of employers now are doing what they should have been doing all along, trying to force ways for people to know how much it costs. Wouldn't it be nice to know in advance that that immunization you need because you're going to Brazil would cost you X dollars in a doctor's office and Y doctors at the health department? And there are big differences. Be nice to know what that ER cost is before you go in there, rather than say, well, I'll just take a look and see if it's serious or not. You might want to call your doctor first in many cases. If you knew the difference in price, you probably would. So a lot of employers are actively looking for ways to get information about cost. If they're self-funded, they pay their own insurance, they own their own insurance policies, they have information because the bills come to them. They're paying them, they know what those bills are. Others are holding their insurers' feet to the fire, whether it's Priority Health or Blue Cross or dominant carriers here in West Michigan, unless you happen to be part of a group that has a national plan with somebody else. Well, we're asking those companies to let people know. If you look at their website, Priority is trying to be very transparent about the cost, what's being paid. How many of us check that is a different matter, but there's going to be more of that. There's a lot of confusion out there. We'll talk about that in a second. Employers are wondering, should I drop my coverage? Under the Affordable Care Act, I only have a $2,000 penalty. That's a lot cheaper than the cost of insurance. I hear that there's companies all over, AT&T, Caterpillar, everybody's dropping coverage. Don't believe it. Employers can say, well, I just am going to get out of the insurance business by asking everybody to arrange their own coverage. So I'll put a reimbursement amount in my pay package, $3,000, $4,000 a year per person, and let them buy their own. And some small employers are finding that might be a better way to go because there's a lot of questions being asked about whether insurance means anything. Some of us who are thinning in the North region understand that health benefits came in post-World War II as a way during wage freezes to get additional reimbursement to employees and to attract employees. Well, in a day and age today where younger people are working between 7 and 12 careers in a lifetime, what does insurance mean? For those of you in HR, how many people have really asked what kind of health benefits you offer other than the cursory, oh, do you have insurance? Yeah, okay. That's as deep as they go. Now, whether it'll pay 20% of the cost, 50% of the cost, or 100%, nobody asks. And the question is, does insurance bring you employees or better employees or not? That's a serious question. In many areas of the nation, employers are banding together. They're working through their chambers, through different coalitions of their own, industrial councils and so on, to buy on a group basis on the assumption that a group can be cheaper than individuals. That's an assumption. It's not always true. Depends on what industry you're in. And by the way, if you're in a hazardous industry, it doesn't matter if you're in a group or solo, it's going to be expensive. Information is needed, and we don't have a lot of information. I can tell you, healthcare costs are really simple to understand. A unit charge for a given service, $90 for an immunization, times the utilization, number of shots you give, 100 shots, that's $90,000, right? 90 at 1,000 a shot, sorry. Just units of service times the cost per unit, and that's how much healthcare is. But we've got a lot of things in the healthcare book to make it hard to understand the total. It's important to see what those are. You can, as I said, hold your insurer's feet to the fire, but by and large, most of us don't know. All we know is there's insurance, and I guess it must be good because my father had it, and you know we've had it here all along, so there must be something to it, even if the damn feds are telling us we have to do it. Okay. For a lot of you, if you're watching for trends, you know, I'll do what everybody else is doing. If your policy comes up this year, you're not going to know. Most insurers have worked with employers to roll their renewal dates over to December 1. So they kept under their old plan to give them time to watch what's going on. But what you find is almost all major employers and those of any size have rolled to December 1. So you don't know what they're doing. The news media don't know. The industry groups don't know. There's survey after survey after survey. I think a lot of people who fill out surveys read Mike Royko's column several years ago in Chicago when he said, if a surveyor comes, lie. Don't tell them the truth, because it's interesting. When an employer's name is linked to a, they're going to drop, they're going to do this, you ask the employer and they said, no way. We're waiting. We're watching. Everybody's waiting and watching. With all the renewals moved to December, or a lot of them, it changes things. A lot of people are concerned about where we're heading. Biggest one that I've come into contact with are the insurance salesmen, the agents out there. Gee, is there a future for us? I mean, everybody can go to the web and buy their own insurance, right? So what do you need an insurance salesman for? And those agents that are salespeople are, in effect, going to go the way of the dodo. That profession will not be here for long. However, those agents that either have or are functioning as consultants to work with people to tell them what their options are, what their choices are, what they're hearing in the field, what differences there are among plans and among companies, those that are consultants are going to have a bright future. It's just like lawyers. How many of you retain a lawyer, not because you're going to be in court every day, but you want that access and that advice? Well, you're going to want that advice on the insurance field. So with that all said, we don't know what's happening. We don't know how much it's going to cost. Damn the Democrats, damn the Republicans, and all this kind of stuff to get us to where we are. We don't know where we are. And that's a sad state, but that's where we are. So you're hearing messages all the time. Our two dominant insurers here, Blue Cross and Priority Health, they don't know what's going on yet. They've rolled business to December 1 and wherever they could. I can tell you, no insurer, at least in Michigan, is going bankrupt because of the Affordable Care Act. I haven't heard of any going under. Most of them have said, yeah, sign-ups are pretty good. Are they better than they would have been expected? Well, we don't know exactly because we don't do ratios of this, that, or the other thing. But it must be okay because things aren't bad yet. So that's where we are now. And what we're finding is the biggest thing among employers, employees, and everybody else is, I got questions. I don't know. So here it's your turn. What kind of questions do you have that we can answer before it's time for everybody to scoot? Yes. Well, that's especially a problem here in Holland. We have, just a little bit to the east of us, Spectrum Health. And it has been absorbing as much of healthcare as it can. It also has a captive insurance company. Ostensibly, when the merger occurred that created Spectrum, they hung on to Priority Health because that was going to be a way to take the efficiencies of healthcare here in West Michigan, and West Michigan is quite efficient. Our costs, utilization are much lower than other parts of the state and nation. They were going to return those efficiencies here in the form of a captive insurance plan that would be kind of like the company store. We know what the costs are, we'll keep it together, and we'll give you the benefit of it. Well, that went out the window when Priority Health started making incursions in the rest of the state of Michigan and northern Ohio. They are not a West Michigan insurer anymore, returning benefits to West Michigan. They're another insurance company. But still, Spectrum is saying to make everything work, we'd like things under our roof. So, corporately, they are hiring more doctors, building more offices like the one on the north side here. They are making everything convenient for you to be one of their group. Then you got Holland Hospital. Go it alone. Hire where you can, but make sense out of your own situation, rationalize it, and provide the best care and give people a reason to come. Now, what's happening in some parts of the country are local hospitals like Holland are cutting deals with their local employers, saying if you will use our services and urge your employees to use them rather than go across to a different city or whatever, we can cut you a deal. And that's happening. Holland is under pressure to be able to stand up to a lot of intense marketing, to have to do its own recruitment and its own marketing. And their needs are to make sure the Holland community, the greater Holland community, appreciates them. And if they don't, then they're going to have a hard time standing up. If people do, they've got a bright future. That's the same being faced in Grand Haven by North Ottawa. It's being faced in communities that have standalone hospitals everywhere. The move to consolidate has been going on, but see, that move also has some problems. I'll give you the cause celeb in my mind. We have in West Michigan one of the preeminent rehabilitation facilities in the nation, Mary Freebed. Mary Freebed was approached by Spectrum, which said, we want you in our system. Mary Freebed said, no, we want to be Switzerland and serve the world. Spectrum said, we'll fix you. We'll start our own rehab unit. No problem. The Freebed name would survive easily with one problem. Spectrum owns its own physicians, its own surgeons. If a surgeon at Spectrum were to be so bold as to recommend a patient go to Mary Freebed, he'd be disciplined because those surgeons are under intense pressure to admit patients to the Blodgett Rehabilitation Unit. Why? Because Blodgett's part of the empire. Mary Freebed is not. Now, that's fine if all the services in the empire are good and of very high quality. The problem is, for all of those who are in manufacturing here, you know the word core competency? You do the things you do well, that's your core competency, and if you don't have it, buy it from somebody else. Outsource, do what you can for the quality things that you can't. Well, if you've got an empire that can't do that because it needs to survive for its business reasons, that's a problem in healthcare. You get a couple bad cases, they go public through the news media, through the churches, union halls, you name it. Guess what happens? That empire starts to collapse because it cannot be good at everything. So there's a little unraveling. Now, something many of you don't know, 49 local CEOs wrote a letter, first to Zealand Community Hospital at the time, then to Spectrum, saying, don't merge. That letter was dusted off as not meaning much. But these are local CEOs of companies you will all recognize. Their rationale was simple. The Holland area enjoys cost competitiveness over other areas. Okay? The cost of doing business in the hospital, in the doctor's offices, and so on here is less than other areas, like in Grand Rapids. The employers figure that if there were a merger at some time, there's got to be a standardization of charges. You can't have a Spectrum CT in Zeeland undercutting, price-wise, the Spectrum CT scanner in Grand Rapids. So they figured once prices normalize, this area will lose its price advantage. Not bad reasoning, right? But they were dusted off. So as long as the prices can be competitive here, more than competitive, and the quality be high, so that you're not saying, well, these are the local yokels who don't know what they're doing, and they do know what they're doing, by the way, there's still a bright future. But the move to consolidate is on the seeds of unconsolidation because of the core competence issue are just starting. Because increasingly, provider groups are being held up for their outcomes, their quality rankings, and so on. You can all go on a number of websites. You'll find that Holland Hospital's rated number one in orthopedic surgery and so on. I wouldn't hesitate to recommend someone go here over some of the system hospitals, whether it's Trinity Health, Spectrum Health, or whatever, on some things. Not everything, but on some things. That information is getting out. You can go to Health Grades. You can go to any of the federal sites, Hospital Compare, and so on. They're free sites, by and large, for the majority of the consumer information. Those standalones that do a good job will have a pretty good future. Those that don't, or the systems that have break up within them, are going to have a hard time. But consolidation is still on. A lot of doctors don't like the idea of being business managers, so being an employee is an attraction these days for younger doctors. Systems offer that, but they also have some chains on their wrists, so you know you have to do things the system way. That can be a two-edged coin, nice for the doc, but could be a problem for patients. And you know, patients have this idea, they like to talk to each other. You know, I get most of my healthcare information at Mr. Berger. Over the years, I found if I went for coffee at 9 o'clock, I'd overhear the people in the booth next to me talking about their Medicare experience, their experience at the nursing home with a wife or something, because all the seniors came for free coffee. Now that I'm one of them, I want my free coffee. But you get a lot of information that way, and people talk. They talk at Mr. Berger, they talk at church, they talk all over, and that information increasingly is of outcome, of how you were treated, respected, and all like that. People are learning that.
What is wellness and being?